Hello, everyone. Welcome to WP Cafe. I'm Keith Devon, and I've got my co-host here, Mark. Say hi, Mark.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody is well.
Might not be the morning for people.
It might not be. That's a good point. Very good point.
Good afternoon. You know, most of our listeners are from the States.
Oh, are
they? Most of the people that watch our channel, because we got our kind of year in review stats from YouTube, and I had a little scan down, and United States was top. And then,
that's very bad planning then, because they'll be in bed.
We did think about that like once, didn't we? We were like, maybe we should do some shows in the afternoon. Anyway,
yeah,
kind of a bit off topic already.
Obviously, they'll set their alarms for this morning, obviously, and they'll be up watching this because it's so good. But
that's why I assume.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can catch up later on YouTube or on the podcast as well, because we do put this out as a podcast these days, which is very exciting. So I'll come back to something of a proper intro. Today, Mark and I are going to be talking about... Thank you very much, Mark. He says, excellent tree. Thanks for watching along. It's really nice having this tree. All our clients have commented on it. It's kind of fun. And
it looks like a fake background anyway. It's like one of those overlays you put on.
Yeah.
A bit better.
Yeah, just need some kind of fake snow coming down as well. I need to fix the bat. That's my favorite decoration.
Ah.
In tribute to the 200 bats we found on our roof this year. So that's why that little guy's there. Anyway, we digress yet again.
Our bat's red. Yeah.
You can take that up with my four-year-old.
Okay, fair enough.
So yeah, let's get back to what we're going to be talking about in this show, which is hopefully just a bit of a year in review. We just thought, just a little look back over 2021, what it was like for us as a business, as a team, reflecting on maybe a few of the things that happened. Or happening in the WordPress space, and how we've kind of been dealing with those. Talk about some of our highs and lows and things like that. Just a general kind of chinwag, I think, is the plan.
Definitely. Yeah. Do say hi, by the way, if you are watching along.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark, for introducing yourself. But does anyone else want to say hello? Do let us know.
Yeah, it is actually really, really nice when people comment, isn't it? It's just like, actually let us know that somebody's listening. It feels much more kind of real or like communal or something. There's a much nicer feel whenever you're actually broadcasting live and you're getting a bit of feedback.
Yeah.
Nick, hello. Yeah. Nick, yay.
Hi Nick,
nice to have and you
Sue.
Along.
Hi Sue, hi Ross.
Hi Sue, hi Ross. Oh, this is really nice.
Makes you feel better already.
I'm just glowing inside. It's really nice. Right, shall we get into some questions? So Mark and I just brainstormed a few things that we might like to talk about, and I've got a big long list, and we might not get through all of it, but
it is a long list.
Yeah, it is. And also I'll make the list potentially even longer by throwing it open to people watching, and if you want to add a question or ask us a question about anything really, we'll do our best to answer. Let's get into it. So, first up, we haven't seen each other in person in a very long time.
No, very long time. I think
how long has it been?
It was January 2020. We went to that recruitment conference in London. That was the last time we saw each other in person.
It is going to be around 2 years.
Yeah. Such a long time.
That is crazy, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't seem like that, though, because like, we see each other every day. Right.
Well, yeah.
It's just like...
I talk to you more than I talk to anybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
Even my
and
wife.
It works. It just works.
I know.
Actually.
The beauty of technology.
For those that don't know, we are 300 miles apart-ish. So you're on the south coast.
Could be more.
I'm up in the northwest. Could be more. No, it's not more. I'm sure it's not more. About 300 miles apart. So it just proves you can run a business... A fairly successful business, I think. Without seeing someone in person for 2 years. So, yeah. But it is sad. I want to catch up. Definitely want to catch up soon. Hopefully, we'll be able to get a chance in the new year soon.
Well, there was going to be WordPress London, wasn't there, in January, in person. which I was very much looking forward to, but we'll obviously have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Things may well have changed by then, which I guess really brings us on to the next major question, which is COVID and business, and basically how has that been for us? Like, what have we found? What's been more challenging, or like, did we ride it out? And like, I don't know, it feels to me like we got kind of lucky a little bit.
Well, while we're discussing that, it'd be interesting to hear from you lot who are watching, like, how's it affected you guys as well? Has it been negative? Has it been positive? Has it been no change? Be good. But I think from our point of view, I felt like when everything sort of like kicked off is the right word, but like in, what was it, March 2020-ish, maybe Feb, we did have that sort of period of where we didn't have many inquiries. We actually had some active clients that had cancelled projects and sort of like scaled back their maintenance plans as well. So we did take a little bit of a hit there, didn't we? But then it felt like that came back reasonably quickly. Once we got to sort of the May, June time, I think, customers started to sort of come back to us, I think, and wanted digital websites and other things. And you know, we got some work back from that. And then from then, it's kind of got back to normal, I'd say, really.
Probably. Yeah, and I think we were lucky in the sense, well, for a couple of reasons. One is that we're such a small team.
Yeah.
And it doesn't actually take too many projects to sustain us. You know, if you can imagine running like a really big dev team and, you know, the pandemic hits and, you know, businesses get twitchy and scale back their investments and things. And like, to be fair, I think digital was a good place to be because a lot of businesses actually scaled up their investment in that area during the pandemic. But so we were lucky in that sense. And then also we had a couple of projects, or at least one project already lined up that was fairly big that kept us busy for a while. And then we won one other fairly, I say big, it's all relative, but like big enough for us to keep us busy for a good little while. And then we've obviously got like some kind of recurring revenue around kind of maintenance and support work and some product work, which we'll talk about for sure. So yeah, I don't think we've like grown massively as a business, but we've certainly haven't. We certainly didn't struggle, and I feel very, very, very fortunate. And fact as well that it was just business as usual for us, in the sense that we work in this way anyway. We've been working remotely since the very, very start. Yeah.
Not much changed.
Nothing really changed. Everything was kind of ready to go. It wasn't. There was no kind of culture shock to get over or anything like that. So. Feel really very, very fortunate, and hopefully for other people listening, I know it wouldn't have been like that for everybody.
I talked to quite a few business owners, not necessarily in WordPress and web development, but you know, it was a massive change for them to go like online to do hangouts and Teams calls, and it was such a big change for them. They didn't have things in place to do that. They had to learn how to do it all. And that must have been really difficult. But obviously, like you said, we were in a fortunate position in that we already had those things in place, which was nice.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of like affecting business, I feel like the last 12 months, I think we've like understood our business better. Like we kind of like know what's working and what isn't now.
Yeah.
And like what sorts of jobs we want to be taking on, and the ones we're not interested in.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got a better understanding of like what we're doing. I don't know whether that's
almost like we're more comfortable with our identity a little bit. We're kind of stumbling up on something that sort of works for us in terms of like in what terms do you think, like, what are we more comfortable at? Like, what are some of the things that you've decided that that's the way we should be doing things and it works for us?
I think one recent one was that we've had some we always get inquiries actually from other agencies. You know, we're flat out at the moment. We want to do X or Y or something. We want you to build this client site. And I think in the last sort of 2 or 3 months, we've really come to the conclusion that working white labeled for another agency is just not what we want to do. And therefore, we can actually just discard those inquiries, you know, because we just don't want to do it. It doesn't work for us. It doesn't provide us with any much value.
Yeah.
I think just decisions like that, we're more comfortable making those decisions. Whereas I feel 12 months ago, there'd always been something, well, if we just, you know, we should just do it because it's this, you know, it's a good job and the money's there. And whereas now I'm much more confident just saying, it's not what we want to be doing. It's not the value that we need.
So why are we more confident? What gives us that confidence, do you think?
Very good question. I think, as I said, understanding our business and where we're making money and where we're not making money.
Yeah.
And how specifically those sorts of jobs, they don't provide us with the value in terms of marketing to then get us more clients, and that sort of thing. And I think just experience as well.
Yeah.
You can't, like, having done things and done them in the past and knowing they did or didn't work, you can't learn that without doing it.
I agree. Yeah, the kind of white label thing for me, it's become kind of quite crystal clear now that that's something that we really don't want to do. And I think one of the biggest things is that whenever you're working in that way for another agency, you're not really growing your own business. You're just grinding through a set of months. You'll get some money, and that's it. And that money will pay for that work that you've done. But there's no potential for like growth beyond that. It's like done. That time has passed. You've been paid a certain amount of money. And it may as well have never happened in a way.
We'll come on to the sort of products and sort of specialist services we've developed. And we get people asking us to do those white labeled. And you get no like value to be known about what you're doing and things like that, do you? Like the client at the other end doesn't even know who you are. So it doesn't help promote our business and build our business and so forth. So I think it's the right thing to do. Now, that's not necessarily the right thing to do for everyone, because obviously if you're working for other agencies, you don't have to do any marketing, you don't have to do all that sort of stuff, you know, you can.
Yeah.
But it depends on your circumstances, and I think for us it's become crystal clear that's something that we're just not interested in doing at the moment.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is good.
I'll just show a comment there from...
Don't forget to read it out, because people on the podcast...
From Elliot, I'll read it. So this is from Elliot Richmond. He says, outsourcing or contracting can end up unviable financially for both contractor, agency, or the client. Down the line, costs are diluted and value goes out the window. Yeah, so I think he's thinking along the same lines there. But like you said, Mark, I'm sure like it works for some people, but it just really hasn't been working for us. And I'll just share. There you go.
Oh, sorry, I've done it.
No.
So Craig says, you're elevating the agency's business. That's like the agency we would be working for.
Exactly.
But you're adding nothing to yours. So you're just trading money for time. So yeah, I completely agree with you there.
And let's dwell on that last sentence, just trading money for time, because I actually feel like that's a really important part of our journey in the last maybe couple of years.
Yep,
is that we've really tried to get away from that. And I know I don't want to get into the whole, is it value-based pricing? I don't want to like label it, but we definitely have been moving away from saying, you know, our time is worth X. So, you know, we very, very rarely give a client an hourly rate or a daily rate. And we're just...
I can't actually think that we've done that in the last 6 months.
I think we do it for like development retainers sometimes. So if someone wants a certain number of retainer hours guaranteed in a month, we give them a price, but it's quite high. Like it probably would be higher than what our kind of standard rate was if you divide the time we spend in a year by the amount of money we make or whatever, or the other way around. But that's the only time we tend to give fixed prices for pretty much everything now. And I don't know about you, Mark, but for me, that's been amazing.
Yeah. I agree. And I think the clients, our clients' response to that has been actually quite positive, because they know what it costs.
Exactly.
And it doesn't necessarily cost more. It's just they know what it costs. Like, this is what I'm going to pay to get this done.
Yeah.
And that just makes sense, really.
Yeah. So a client just the other day, they wanted some changes made to the footer of their website. And, you know, we could have said it'll be X per hour, and that would have meant nothing to them. They'd be like, well, what's that? What's it going to be? How many hours? And we're like, well, we can't tell you. But instead, we just use our experience just to put a figure on it and say, we think it'll be this. We'll take that risk. Is it worth that to you, basically? And they say yes or no.
And the client makes that decision because they know what they're going to invest and they know what they want to get out of it. So,
and then there's never an awkward discussion with the client. Sometimes, you know, things are just way, way harder than you anticipated for some reason. You might have to have a conversation, but generally we absorb the losses, you know, and we reap the gains. You know, when there are gains, when you get something done a little bit quicker, that's fine. Yeah. When things take a little bit longer, that's fine. Like,
it's worth saying though that if there was that outlier where like sometimes you just can't deliver what you've said for that price, they wouldn't pay anything.
Oh yeah, obviously.
You know, they wouldn't be losing out in terms of, you know, I've already spent 3 hours and you've paid me this much money and now I can't deliver it. Well, they don't pay anything if you don't get the job done, because that's part of the deal, isn't it? You know, you pay this to get that. If you don't get that, then you don't pay this.
Yeah,
which I think is fair.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
interesting. So yeah, that's something we didn't have in our notes, but I do feel like that's been a big change for us, is getting away from putting value on our time rather than
and I think that's been coming for more than just this year, hasn't it?
I feel like we've hit really incorporated that and believed in it more, and we think about it more, and in terms of value. We might come back to a little bit of this conversation whenever we talk about some of our product work, because I think there's some interesting pricing stuff in our products. I'm just gonna share a comment from, there's a few people, I don't know if we said did we say hello to Craig, I can't remember. Hello Craig if we didn't. And Nick shared as well, this is when we were talking about how the year had gone under kind of pandemic circumstances. He says, for us it has been really mixed. The usual rhythm is totally gone. Yeah, I can understand that. But we've actually done decent numbers over the period, so that's great to hear. I think that's probably similar for a lot of people. Like, it's the normal rhythm. I never felt like we had a rhythm, and I don't know why. But like, you know, some people say, oh, it's always quiet in August, or it's always busy and whenever. I never felt, maybe I just haven't paid attention to it, but I never felt like we had those like reliable peaks and troughs, really. August is quiet in terms of you don't hear from the from as many clients more people are on holiday, but it hasn't meant that we haven't been as busy, if that makes sense.
No. I still feel as though we've had like the peaks and troughs where you've like got lots of projects and then not many, but I don't think they come in specific periods of the year. You know, like every February we only have one project, and every August we only have two projects. I don't think that's the case, but we do get those ups and downs. But I do think that's something else we've improved on, in that, like, we've kind of always got a nice flat line of things to do almost. We don't have that, like, you know, working 13 hours a day to try and finish these three things. And then we tend to, I don't know, I just feel as though we've kind of married that quite nicely into, we've always got a steady stream of things to do, you know, but not too.
So how have we done that then? Because I agree with you. There's been very, very few times when we've been like, we've got to work all night, or we're coming in over the weekend. Yeah. Can you remember ever doing that?
No, I think the last time I felt like that was when we did the migration from Squarespace to WordPress, that project.
Yeah.
That was a project where I felt a bit like this is deadlines looming. And we've got a lot to do. Whereas this year, was that this year? Might have been this year. Was it earlier this year? I can't remember now.
It's early this year, was it? I think.
Was it late last year? I can't remember. Anyway, it was a good 12 months ago.
It was around Christmas, because I think it was supposed to go live pre-Christmas, and then it went live in January in the end.
That's
so it was a year ago we were in that situation.
And that was the last project where I felt kind of a bit stressed and under pressure and that. But other than that, it's been much more smooth, I think, this year, which has been nice.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
So what's next?
Well,
on our list?
There's one you've got here on the list. I think I'll leave that till a little bit later, because it feels
it
like
comes
that
in, doesn't
goes.
It? Later.
Boom. I'll just put it down here in case we want to come back to it. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about some of the projects. It's difficult on a podcast, isn't it? Because if this was YouTube only, I could pull some stuff up on screen and we could show people some
stuff. We could
stuff.
Do. But we'd have to make sure we talk about it at the same time. But I don't know if that's worth it or not.
Yeah. Should we just like briefly chat through some of projects? Or like, just before we do that, I'm going to try to stay on top of the comments because I love having people commenting. So I'm just going to chuck some of these on screen as well. This is Elliot Richmond. He says, I'm really lucky. Rachel, my partner, deals with all costs. I just estimate how long it will take and she quotes. Under no circumstances am I allowed to give any costs to clients whatsoever. I'd love to know the formula that Rachel uses, Elliot. Is it like, I'll take what Elliot says and multiply it by two or something like that?
Four.
Four. Yeah, that'd be better. We do something like that. We've got like a... Because we do still do estimates, don't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Because we just need to have a rough idea, like that it's going to be profitable or not. But and we've got like a wiggle room multiplier, don't we? So we estimate everything and then multiply it by this like wiggle room figure. And then Nick is just clarifying something. Nick Wilmot, he says rhythm in the sense that the pipeline is much shorter than usual. So his sales pipeline, I guess he's talking about there. That's interesting. Yep, things have changed for sure. All right. So we're just about to chat about a couple of the projects. So we've had a few really interesting ones. The biggest we've had recently is the one for Precision Microdrives. I think that's been our biggest project for a while.
To date.
Ever.
Yeah, I think that's...
To date. Yeah, we started one that's potentially bigger.
Definitely bigger.
Which is bigger. But that was our biggest project. I loved that project for kinds of reasons. One, I got to do the design, which I really enjoyed. It was a challenge. We were using Gutenberg for not the first time, but still pretty early on.
Was that not the first time?
No. We'd already done ABM and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty early on, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we'd done a few. I think it might have been our third Gutenberg build at that point.
If you want to have a look at the website, it's in the chat if you'd like to have a look at it.
Yeah.
Please be nice.
It is what it is, but I love it. The client really loves it, and the process was just amazing. Tell you what, working with nice people just makes just such a massive difference, doesn't it?
It so does, yeah, definitely. It's been a pleasure working with the team on that. It really has.
Yeah, just exactly what you want a client to be like. Just reasonable, friendly, like curious and interested in the process and the tech and the, you know, trying to come up with creative solutions to problems together rather than just like, no, we want it done this way. It has to be this way. You know, everything. Oh, it was just a joy. That was really, really fun. And like I say, it has been a real success for them, which is wonderful.
Thank you, Craig. You make a very good point. I probably should read out the URL for listeners. It is precisionmicrodrives.com.
Yes. If you just Google Precision Microdrives, I would hope that it comes.
Hope it comes up. Yeah.
Hope it comes up. So they're a manufacturer of tiny motors, basically micro drives. That was cool. But thoroughly enjoyed that project from start to finish.
I still look at that site now, and I look at the content on the site, and we did a lot of work like getting the site ready, but the amount of work they've done on content is amazing when you look at it. There's so much content on there.
It is. And the fact that Gutenberg held up and the theme that we built held up, like, I'm very, very proud of that, to be honest.
Yeah, it was good.
And it wasn't like painful. Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, everything's breaking and we don't know how to do this or that. There was a bit of a learning curve, obviously, but they were just superb anyway.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, for those that are perhaps listening, there's a lot of core blocks obviously on there. There is some custom blocks. I think custom blocks we build like an animated icon block using the Lottie player. You might have seen that on the web. It's like a library where you can animate. Is it SVGs? I think it's SVGs, isn't it? Mm. I think it is. We built some accordions and slider ones and other sorts of blocks like that. And used obviously a lot of core blocks to get the layouts. You'll see obviously if you have a look at it.
Get the inspector open and see how we put it together.
Works pretty well. Don't talk to Keith about spacing.
Yeah, what a nightmare. Have I got that in my lows of the year?
I don't know, actually. You should have put it in, shouldn't you?
Spacing blocks in Gutenberg has been the bane of my life. And it's all changing again because we're going to have dimension controls and block gaps and all kinds of things coming up. So I don't even know what I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks' time. So, yeah, we'll see. Elliot just spotted the Lottie player.
I've just put the link to it as well if you want to have a look at it. Nice. It's nice, actually.
It's nice, but maybe it's just because we haven't implemented it very well, not very performant at this point. We might need to find a little trick to load that a bit better in the future. But
it's good. Essentially, you can create... I can't remember how you do it now. You create an SVG and then there's a... Is there an add-on for one of the video editing apps or something, and you can turn it into sort of a JavaScript file.
Yeah, it's After Effects, is it?
That's it. And then, so essentially, it's just loading it. I think it's just, no, it's a JSON file, isn't it? I think it's just loading a JSON file using that to animate. It's quite cool, actually.
It is cool. This is a great comment from Mark. He says, love the site, but the third-party tracking scripts are really dragging down the page speed index on mobile. The page speed index score on mobile is pretty awful at the minute. We were looking at that the other day, and there's lots of things that we're going to try in the new year to try to bring that down.
To our defense, it wasn't as bad as that when it went live.
No, you're right.
Yeah. I think it was 60, wasn't it, ish, when it went live.
HubSpot scripts and stuff have been added and all sorts. So we've got to figure out a way to improve all that stuff. It's a constant battle, isn't it? So
we'll get there.
Yeah, so that was that one. We've got two others that were kind of our main projects of the year, weren't they? So Dialect Inc.
Yep.
Which
I'll put a link in the chat. That is dialectincinc.com.
Yeah, another block powered theme, custom theme. This time the designs were given to us. And we had to turn them into a block-based theme, essentially. Really, really fun. Some nice custom blocks and things in there. The design really lent itself to blocks, actually. It's one of those ones you get, you're just like, yep, that's a cover block. Those are columns. Yeah. That's this. And we sprinkled in a few custom blocks built with ACF. And that was that. It was nice. We've got opinions about the the video background.
What the opinions are.
So if you visit that site, there's like a full screen kind of video background to start with, and we fought
hard against that. Headache inducing video, but
it's awful. But there you go. It's not an awful video. It's just like the context of it and the way it plays. Just like Jesus, it's quite intense, isn't it? Anyway, another like kind of fun project, nice team, like they were lovely, went pretty well, and again, like there was a couple of things actually we learned with that project. One is that we made the decision to not use custom post types for the portfolio pieces, like the work section. For various reasons, because we're trying to, move into this block-based world. And we didn't do that, and that came back to bite us later on, didn't it? The client was basically like, why can't I just edit all my, portfolio pieces in one place, and then they all come through? And I was like, oh, no.
But then we've had clients that are saying, right, I want to customize and do the opposite, and I want control over those pieces. So you can't win, can you, I suppose?
Well, no,
the lesson there is we should have asked that more upfront to start with before we sort of got into it and made that decision ourselves, but it works, and we've delivered what they wanted.
It was a compromise. It's that balance between flexibility and like ease of management and things like that. It's one of those judgment calls. We We did get it wrong that time. We got it wrong for the right reasons, if that makes sense. But yeah, that was definitely something to think about going forward. And then the last one was Zizi, which was a very similar project in a way, in terms of we got designs delivered to us and we had to turn it into a WordPress theme. And yeah, it seemed to go okay. So that is Zizi, ZAIZI.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, like nice, really nice team. They loved it. You know, it was just, yeah. But it is interesting. I would say that most of our clients are enjoying Gutenberg. There is one that I can think of that had not very nice things to say.
Yeah.
That, yeah. You know who I'm talking about. But apart from that person, I think that most of our clients have, when they've seen what we've been able to deliver, they've been like, oh wow, you can do that, can you? And it's like, yeah, it's just flexible, it's open. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to get into the whole page builder versus Gutenberg argument, and I know that that was probably possible with Elementor and Divi and whatever else, but I'm just saying that people have actually quite liked the Gutenberg experience. In our experience,
and the thing does take them time to learn, and like, I actually, bit of advice if I dare give it, is that just spending like half an hour with your client on a video call and sharing your screen and just showing them the absolute basics of how to do a layout in Gutenberg, it's like gold dust. Because if you just let them have a go, they'll make silly errors is perhaps not the right word, but they'll kind of do things to make it work that actually break it almost. So one example we had was, and this is just like an example that we have, it's probably different for everyone, but clients kind of using a single column to put things inside to get the spacing right, which obviously then once you fix the spacing, it just kind of breaks everything. So just a really quick introduction to it on a video call is a really good idea. And it gives them the sort of grounding to get it all right from the start, because you don't want them going back and editing, you know, 30, 50, 100 pages to remove X, Y, and Z because you've not done it right.
Yeah, which, yeah, this kind of comes into our more general experiences with Gutenberg for the year then. One of my top tips, well, this is all, it all changes. One of my top tips for the year has been don't use spacer blocks. Because I can't remember if I kind of accidentally did this, but we whitelist the blocks, don't we? So we don't give clients access to like every single core block. We kind of whitelist them. And I think we had the spacer block like not on that list. And that's because I hate the spacer block mainly, because it just gives that kind of pixel level control over spacing where everything else is spaced beautifully based on like relative units and things. And then you've got this pixel. I hate it anyway. But what that ended up doing, which was great, was that spacing issues are then raised instead of being fixed with spacer blocks. So it's some, like a client would come along and say, oh, this, you know, there's too much or too little space between these elements in this particular situation. So instead of them just adding a spacer block, they tell me about it, I fix it. Whereas if they'd added the spacer block every time that situation came up, how do we retroactively then fix the theme? Yeah. Because I can't then fix the theme, because the fixing the theme would break the site. Because all those spacer blocks would still be there doing their thing and creating even more space or whatever. So that's something that I, like, one of my top tips for Gutenberg development. And I think it's pretty obsolete now, because the spacer block's pretty much going to be obsolete, I think. But,
and it's not necessarily just the spacer block, actually. So a top tip is, like, if you're building a block-based theme or site, tell your client not to worry about spacing. So let them add the content and say, literally, if it doesn't look right spaced, don't worry about it. Let's fix them all at the end. Because we've had them as well where, like, they put an empty paragraph to fix something, or it kind of, because they're worried about the spacing. And what you really want to say is, look, forget the space. We know the spacing is going to be wrong. Let's get the content in, and then we'll fix all the spacing afterwards. And that's something that's worked for us.
Yeah. So Mark has just written, we remove the standard block. I think he means the standard spacing block.
Yeah.
And add a custom spacer block, which allows small, medium, and large. This allows a limited adjustment and saves a huge amount of headaches. When, there's a follow-up. When considering all of the hundreds of possible combinations of blocks and nested elements. Exactly. But I would argue that I wouldn't even add that spacing block until very, very late in the game, potentially, for the reasons we've just mentioned. But yeah, that sounds great. And
that goes with our philosophy, doesn't it, Keith, in that we want the clients to just add content and then it works. So like Mark says there, considering the hundreds and thousands of possibilities of all the blocks, so that's very hard to do. But we want to try our best to do that without them to needing to worry about spacing as much as we can.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm just going to put, so Nick asks, how did you resolve your spacing woes? Well, the thing is, Nick, I resolve them and then something changes and I've got more woes to deal with. So my current woe is, well, I'll come back to I'll start with how I resolve them. So a lot of my spacing problems initially were around the fact that I was using CSS grid for my general block layout. And what that meant is that each individual block, so each item in the grid, doesn't use collapsing margins. And I know collapsing margins can be the bane of a CSS developer's life, but actually they're there for a really good reason and they work really well when you understand them. And the fact that I couldn't collapse margins in CSS grid was a big problem for me. So that was one of my woes. My most recent woe is the addition of a style tag under a group block if you have set it to inherit default styles. And that means that it makes it very, very difficult to do any kind of adjacent sibling selectors in CSS or last of types or whatever, because you just don't know where these style tags are going to be thrown in. So there's some workarounds. So you could do, for example, WP block group plus style plus WP block group, and that would get the two adjacent groups. But it just means adding extra CSS, and there's certain things it means you can't do, and it's a real pain in the backside. So hopefully they're going to be ditching that soon. But yeah, it seems to be a constant battle, and like I say, one that's always changing because I think we're getting whole new spacing controls very soon. So there you go. Yeah, it's great. It's great to have so much chat. Thank you, everyone, for asking questions and commenting. It's really nice. Thank you for joining us. Anything else with Gutenberg, Mark, that you want to share? Just our general experience, because obviously that has been a really big part of life for the last couple of years, hasn't it? It's just wrestling it, wrangling it.
Like, use core blocks what you can. Block patterns help with that. If you can create a pattern, let the client use it. But I think something else to mention, I don't know if it's the right place to mention it, is that projects are now very front-end heavy.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of my work seems to have gone because it's already there. and it just needs styling in a way. Sometimes, I have to do things, custom blocks where necessary and things, but it does seem as though projects have gone very front-end heavy in terms of the total amount of work in them. And it depends what the project is. You've got integrations and things, and obviously they require work, but
yeah.
It's changed. The landscape's definitely changing for sure.
That has been a massive change actually in our business, hasn't it? Like when we take a new project on, like if we're building a WordPress website, the amount of time that you spend on it is typically a lot less than the amount of time I spend on it. So it's meant we've had to kind of structure the business slightly differently, knowing that I'm going to need more time on that stuff.
Previously, it was roughly half and half, really. Whereas now it's more third, two-thirds, definitely.
Yeah, I think so.
Some projects even more than that.
Yeah, some more, some slightly less if there's more kind of complex back-end stuff to do, integration work and stuff like that.
Launched that sort of site yesterday, and I'd say that was probably a fifth me and a four-fifths you, probably.
Yeah, probably right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting to hear Craig say that he is not really enjoying the battle at the moment. I assume he's talking about the battle against Gutenberg, working with Gutenberg, or maybe just WordPress in general. I'm not sure. Yeah, I have days, Craig, where I feel like packing it all in. I'm like, I finally feel like I'm kind of get on top of it a little bit, and then everything changes, and I just, it's depressing. But I'm still trying to stick with some positivity around the overall vision, and things normally do get better. And like, I don't know, it's going to be different for different people, because people don't build different kinds of websites and they're doing different kind of work and they've got different workflows and different expertise. For me as a front-end person who just wants to write CSS mainly, I'm kind of enjoying most of it. It's just a bit frustrating occasionally how much it's changing, but yeah, the general direction I think has been pretty good.
Quick question from
sorry, that was me.
It's all right. Quick question from Elliot. Thank you. Did you guys watch the State of the Word on Tuesday? Simple answer from me, no.
I didn't. I've never watched it.
No. I don't know what went on. I might watch it, but to be honest, I didn't even know it was on until like I saw some tweets coming in saying like, here's the link, or it's live, or they're like tweeting at the event. And I was like,
yeah,
oh, right. Didn't know about that.
I've never watched it live. And I've just occasionally I've never sat down and watched a whole one ever. And I think I watched maybe the first hour, maybe 45 minutes of the one the other day. But no. I don't know. But I don't find it particularly interesting, to be honest.
I must admit, it's not like a conscious decision I've made. Like, I'm not watching the State of the Word. It's just, no, I didn't watch it. But yeah, I don't is it worth watching, Elliot? Should I be watching it? Is it good?
Yeah, that's
the stuff that I need to know that is in there. Let me know.
That's a good question for people. Is it worth watching and why? Like, I feel like it's a bit, like I like Matt, but I just feel like it's kind of watching a politician just, you know, telling us what he wants us to hear, not really addressing any of the issues people really want to talk about. Maybe that happened. This is coming from someone that hasn't watched it, so like I should just shut up, because I shouldn't really have a take on this. But that's kind of what I feel like. It's just a kind of presentation. WordPress is awesome, yada yada yada. Nothing of like mega substance. Let's put this on. Elliot's giving us a rundown. Big on blocks and how the push to make them generic across the web. So like a custom block you build with WordPress can be used on Wix or Drupal. Yeah, I saw something about that, like using Gutenberg as like the kind of web component engine. Interesting. See, this is the thing. People have a much greater vision for things than I do. So I've kind of started to kind of trust the people in control a little bit more, that they're the ones with the vision. Sometimes I'd like to be brought into that vision so I could share it, but there you go. Maybe that's going to be wonderful. Maybe it's going to be terrible. Who knows? I've got like a 5,000-word blog post that I've never published, all about the current state of the industry. Maybe that's something I should do for the holidays. Get that pushed out. Anyway.
Let's move on to products.
Yeah.
Exciting. Products. So when have we looked? Well, so we have a product. We have a few, actually. But the main product that we have now is called Job Relay. And we actually launched this product in January of 2020. So it was kind of launched pretty much last time we saw each other in person.
Just before a certain world event.
Yeah. So it was obviously the best time to launch a product, and it was difficult to start with to get anyone to buy it. So if you don't know Job Relay, it connects WordPress recruitment websites with job multi-posters. So recruitment sites, recruiters usually use the multi-poster where they can log in, write a job advert, choose multiple destinations to post it to, and then it pings those destinations. And our solution allows one of those destinations to be your WordPress site, so you can have it on your own website as well. So we launched this in January 2020. We did already have some solutions out on the market, but this was a much more refined solution that worked with pretty much any WordPress site, rather than requiring you to have a specific plugin on WordPress. And it was tough to start with. Like, we struggled to get like 10 subscribers on it, probably for about 4 or 5 months. But like, that was like right in the middle of the pandemic, wasn't it? So I suppose that was to be expected. But yeah, I've really enjoyed working on that. That's been like my little passion for the last 12 months, building that, getting clients on it, on sales calls, telling people about it, you know, and then working with them obviously to build it into their sites. And we've got 100 and odd subscribers to it now, haven't we?
Yeah, we broke 100 like last month, didn't we? Which was great because that's kind of like an unofficial goal we'd set ourselves for the
Absolutely.
Year.
So. Yeah, it's good. And that's processing about 11,000 jobs a month that go through the system onto people's WordPress sites. So it's quite, it's one of those things I always look at and think, wow, it still works. And I built it.
Yeah. You've said you've really enjoyed that, and you've said what it is. Why are you enjoying working on that so much? What is it?
That's a really good question. I think part of it is you can take it in a direction that you want it to go in, but then, like, I wouldn't take it in a direction that I know my clients don't want, obviously. So there is, you know, there is a boundary of what you want to do with it, but I think it's something that's just enjoyable to work on and plug away on, and then you get new ideas for it, and you think, oh, I could do this, and then you try it, and then it doesn't work, or it does work, and, you know, and that was exciting, looking at, you know, I can think of, like, 3 or 4 different sort of things we've done over the year. Some haven't worked with it, like, no one's been interested in them. Some have. Working with the new partners as well, the services that it supports, that's been quite interesting, and, you know, engaging with them. So I think it's just enjoyed it. It's just been different to working with clients, you know, building websites, which is nice.
Do you know, I think the main reason that I really love it is it's just because it's so, like, enclosed. It's simple in the sense that it solves a specific problem. So there's no room for all this, like, scope argument.
Scope, yeah.
There's just, does it do this? Yes. How much is it? It's this much. Do you want it? Yes or no. And, like, it's so simple. Like, there's no, because sometimes, like, you know, we get inquiries in and someone sends their initial email and they're like, oh, we've got this project. It's going to have this, that, and the other. And even if it seems like a potentially really good fit for us, there's always a sense of dread for me. I'm always like, I know what's going to happen at some point. And actually, we've been lucky because it hasn't recently. And maybe that's because we've just been lucky with good clients. Maybe it's because we've learned some lessons from the past. But I always have this sense of dread about, you know, there's going to be scope creep. There's going to be a conversation about they can't have that, or that's going to cost extra, yada, yada, yada. Like, there's always the whole pain around, do we know enough to give a price yet? You know, when do we sign off on that? And, like, all that kind of stuff. And with products, that's just, it's mostly 95% gone. And it's like, and like you say, you can just kind of get on with the work and get on with solving a problem. And that is so satisfying, isn't it? Whenever, like, someone says, I really want to be able to do this. Oh, there's a product. Does it do this? Yeah, it does it. Brilliant. That's exactly what I needed. And it's done. And everybody's happy. Like,
and it's just the amount of people that have got back and said, you know, oh, it's great, it works, it's brilliant, it's doing exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, nice, that's good. You know, it just feels nice. You know, you've done it and it works. And I think the scoping thing you mentioned is really good there, because I was going to say, like, all of that upfront work you do with a project where you've got to find out what they want and discovery and all that sort of stuff, you don't really have with the product. You have a sales call where you've got to explain what it does and, you know, try and convince them to purchase it. But I guess part of that is replaced with support on the other side. So people, you know, I handle lots of support requests every day for it. But even that, it's like you say, it's like, is this support about this product? And actually 75% of all the requests we get aren't actually asking us about our product. They're asking us something else about WordPress.
That's so interesting. That has been an interesting side effect, hasn't it? Because
that's one thing we really need to improve with the product, is to make that crystal clear to people. So essentially, it saves jobs in the WordPress database however they want to save jobs. So if they've created a bespoke custom post type, it'll save them in there. Or if they're using a job board plugin, it'll save them in there. And lots of the requests we get are like, you know, the title's green and I want it to be output in blue. And it's like, well, that's your theme, you know, just forget whether the job came from our system. Like, how would you do that anyway, you know?
Yeah.
and making, and I get why they don't understand. I completely do. But making them understand, that's one, I think if we could nail that goal in the next 12 months, really getting that crystal clear to people, that would be good.
I think the reason that that's almost so painful for us is that we know we can solve those problems for them, but they're just not at all part of the product. And do we want to get into fixing all the little nitty gritty problems with all of these websites? No, is the answer. And I think that makes it a bit awkward for us. It's like, we know exactly how to fix that, but actually we don't really want to get into that, because that's project work then again, and that's not what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that something else, like over the past 12 months, I've really got better at like explaining the product and selling it to people, because you've got this thing that you've built and you know exactly how it works and you know exactly what it does, but you've got to explain that to someone at the other end who isn't a technical person, who doesn't necessarily really know WordPress. They just want to do this thing. You know, I want this job that I post here to appear on this website.
Most of them probably don't even really understand how like the internet works. At any kind of fundamental level. So it's all just magic. And it's like, it's kind of understandable why they don't understand.
And I finally feel like I've got like a three-step process now. We're on a sales call. I can explain how it works in a way that they understand. And you know, that really helps them come to a decision as to whether that's something they want to purchase or not. I think if we could finally solve that last bit of the puzzle, which is like making them truly understand what is and isn't this product, that would really help as well. But we'll get
so there. If anyone listening wants to do minor fixes to recruitment websites, please get in touch. It'd be great to be able to refer those little things on to people. We've got a comment from Steve there, which I thought I'd just bring up on screen. Steve Perry says, "Scoping is the biggest headache for me. It's almost impossible to make sure that you have enough detail in proposals. There's always room for scope creep." Could not agree more with that. It is very, very difficult. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for us, for anything but the very smallest projects, we really do insist on a paid discovery session where we essentially... produce the proposal, essentially, to say, this is what we're building. That in itself is hard, but at least you've got a real grounding of what they're trying to achieve and what you're going to do to achieve that. It's never perfect. It always changes slightly.
Yeah.
But we found that's a very strong argument to start a project off with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it can be a hard sell for some people.
Yeah, definitely.
And some people just get it. And to be honest, that's a great client filter right there. Because you want to be working with the people that just get it. We're doing one at the minute, and it's taken us, 4 months?
Yeah, to get
the discovery process.
But you look back now and you think, if we hadn't have done this discovery,
this
project would have been a nightmare. I mean,
total disaster.
Because you just have to have that, like, what are we doing? How's this work? What happens here?
Yeah.
And so, I think that's been a big take for us as well in the last 12 months, making sure that we have those discovery sessions and being confident enough to say to clients, we're not proceeding without this. Like, this is part of the project. It's really important. And if that's not for you, then perhaps this project isn't for us.
Yeah, completely agree. We've got a couple of other products and things and chat around the product space. A couple of other plugins. I mean, are many of them making much of a dent these days compared to Job Relay or?
Not really.
No. But, I mean, they're kind of just little nice side earners, aren't they? Rather than, we're not going to retire off them.
I'm going to retire off them. No, definitely not. No. One of the ones that we had and we've had for the last few years, it's been like, I mean, it's been successful, but like, don't get me wrong, it's not like you can't retire on it by any means. It's kind of small money. It's the website specification template. So this was probably a couple of years ago now. We once had a look at our analytics and thought, wow, that blog post is like 90% of the traffic to our website. What's going on there? So Google it. And lo and behold, it like
number one.
Very for specific terms, it's number one. So like, and Keith, I have all the credit for this because it was his idea. What can we do to monetize that? So essentially, we kind of turned the topic of the blog post into a downloadable sort of set of resources that you can use to build your own website specification. And it's done really well. I think it's, you know, it's had hundreds of sales. I mean, they're only like 15 quid a sale, so they're not exactly big money, but it's just, it's a nice lesson in that if you've got something that's ranking really well, can you do anything to try and monetize it? I think that's important.
And that still sells.
You know, we still get the emails coming in, new sale.
Interesting, isn't it, though? Because for a while we were selling like a couple a day, wasn't it? Like it was at least one a day.
Yeah.
And like nothing really has changed and that's dropped right off. So I wonder, I've always wondered why, but don't know. I need to dig into it, but I don't really care, to be honest. It's like, that was just a little pun. It kind of, it probably took 2 hours to turn that into what we like the product. And then that was that. It's great. We've got a couple of other plugins and things, don't we? But we're mainly focusing on JobRadar these days around in that space. We did make the move to Lemon Squeezy from EDD.
Well, semi-move. We still use EDD for JobRelay. But we use Lemon Squeezy now just for the other products that are sort of like one-off purchases mainly, just to take away some of the VAT headache for...
Massive headache.
Fat moss and stuff, but it doesn't take it away completely because we still have it for JobRelay, but it helps. And it's nice just to move them over to that. It's good.
Yeah.
Worth a look if you're doing that in that space. Definitely.
Yeah. I wonder, Mark, how much longer we should go because that'll affect what we cover next. Should we just jump into the highlights? Do you think?
Yeah. I think we could run through those really quickly.
Yeah, so
we go for lightning highlights, and low lights.
Well, weirdly, one of my highlights is going to be working with Gutenberg, and that is because I was getting a bit bored, to be completely honest, of the old way of doing things. And Gutenberg, although it came with a lot of drama and headache and continual headache, actually just gave me a little, it actually gave me a little spark, and it was like, okay, here's a new challenge. How are we gonna work with this? Like, what do I need to learn? What do I need to do? So that's my first one. What's your first?
My first is, we've already talked about it, JobRelay, so I'll leave that one. I've enjoyed doing that. It's been the highlight. I'm gonna say Twitter.
So
like 12 months ago, I sort of sat there and thought, how am I using Twitter? And I was going to say social media in general. I don't really use much other social media apart from Twitter. So I just kind of set out on a bit of a journey to try and use it a bit more, provide a bit more value to people, rather than just tweeting rubbish, really, you know, like you do. Just to try and provide a bit more value and stuff and share some of the stuff we do.
You've been much more structured about the way you use Twitter, more deliberate.
Yeah, I'm trying to provide, you know, what's the word, like a constant stream of information to people. And I don't mean like, you know, 40 tweets a day.
Yeah.
A couple of tweets a day, hopefully providing value to people, sharing some of the code that I write, if it's sharing some of the videos we put on here, you know, asking questions and discussion points and really trying to sort of, you know, help people and provide a reason to follow me, if you like, as well.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed that. It's taken time. It's taken a lot of time and effort. You know, I've got to spend a couple of hours each week coming up with ideas for tweets and content and things like that.
Is that what it is, do you think? Is that the time commitment?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Has it worked?
Well, that's kind of why I also, like you, I also put it in my low point because, yes, it has worked. I suppose if the object of this was to gain followers, then it's worked. So I've gained about 1,000 followers in 12 months.
Hmm.
And the reason why it's going in the lower point is that actually worth it? Like for what's been 2 hours a week for 52 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not an easy job, you know.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like
Siri, I don't want you.
followers as like a success metric, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, what's he doing? Like, just trying to... But it is a success metric because it means that you are providing value to more people. Like, that's how these things work. Like, people follow people because they're interested in what they have to say. So if you're putting out good content, like, the number of followers you get is probably... Unless you're just, like, trying to be controversial all the time or something, do you know... You know, you're not Piers Morgan. You're putting out like WordPress development tips and your opinion on things. You're starting interesting conversations. That's one of the things I think has been really successful about your Twitter feed, is that you raise a topic and you put forward your opinion, and then there's often a really, really interesting conversation in the comments or in the thread. So I think that's been good. And I think followers, although feels like a bit like of a sleazy metric, it is the true way to kind of value what you're putting out, or measure like what you're putting out. So no, well done to you, because I know you've really put the time in and it's been good.
And I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it. I think I've always enjoyed, I'm sure people know, I always enjoyed sharing the stuff we do, whether it's at WordCamp talks or WordPress meetup talks or just chatting to people. And
yeah,
so it's nice to be able to do that as well on here, and obviously on this channel, but also on Twitter. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. My next highlight is, it's one we've already talked about again, is just the clients we've worked with.
Mm.
Just some of the like loveliest people, loveliest teams. And like I said, I don't know if we've just got lucky or if our kind of, I don't know, our marketing or our sales process or whatever weeds out people that aren't great. For whatever
reason. I think all
reason.
Of that combined, really.
I think it does. I think it is like a holistic approach, really. Yeah, like that, you know, there's no one thing, no one factor, but I do think it all makes a difference. And maybe even the fact that we do put ourselves out there and people get a chance to maybe watch a YouTube video before they engage with us or something. I don't know how many of our clients have done that. Probably not many. But, you know, things like that could help.
220,400 watch time minutes. So someone's watching YouTube videos.
Someone's watching it. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's really, really cool. But yeah, so that's
views.
Definitely one of my highlights.
Yeah, cool.
What about you?
The YouTube channel's been nice working on that. I do like putting the videos out and stuff. But we've just got new MacBooks. Oh, and they're good.
That's got to be a highlight for me. Like, that was a nice pre-Christmas treat.
They are fast, and they like we got, like, looking back at my old laptop now, which was what, 5 years old, I think they were, weren't they? So they're just so quick. Like, switching between stuff just makes life a lot easier. It really does.
Yeah.
They are cool. So
it was getting painful, wasn't it? But we held out for this version, this update, and we kind of maxed them out as well, didn't we, to get the most.
Oh, yeah.
The longevity and we may as well.
And it's funny because I switched back like to my old laptop to transfer something, because I haven't done like a complete and utter transfer across. I've just sort of picked and chosen things as I want it. And you jump back on it now and it's like, oh my God, how did I ever use this? You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting, but yeah, they've been exciting. Good.
So my last highlight of the year, it's not my last highlight, it's just one that I happened to think of when I was making this list, is how our kind of focus on the recruitment industry is really starting to affect things in a positive way for us. And specifically, I can think about a couple of sales calls where we've actually almost been pushing the client away slightly.
Yeah.
Just been like, we're kind of busy. I don't really fancy this project. And they are not begging us, but like, nope, we really want to work with you guys. How can we make it happen? Like, that kind of conversation, rather than just, well, okay, we'll just go and find another WordPress developer because you're all generic.
I can think of two calls that we had, and we both came off those two sales calls and we were like, well, that was different, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally like, different.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
That was like quite a big alarm. Well, not alarm bells the wrong word, but like a big change, I think, for us to understand, once you've got that expertise and focus, that people kind of value that and see you as the person that can deliver their thing. And that, that was really interesting.
Like, we're solving problems for people before they even know there is one. Like, that's one of the things. It's like, you know, we're talking about like building job boards or like integrations and things, and you're saying, oh, well, you know, we'll do this, or have you thought about that? And they're like, oh, no, I hadn't thought about that. And there's like, and you can just tell they're like, oh, thank goodness we're in safe hands. You know, they're like, they relax, and it just changes the dynamic completely. So for me, that's been absolutely massive. Like, not all of our work is recruitment work yet. No. Maybe one day, it may not ever be. But those particular sales calls are pretty amazing now.
Yeah, definitely.
Big
one. Good.
A few low points. So you've already kind of covered your first one, but like, just the whole Twitter thing was your high and a low, because
it was more of a high than a low, to be honest. But I think my other low points was that, and people who do follow me on Twitter will probably know this one anyway. Like, for me, technology is just getting too complicated. Like, there's so many things you've got to do to get things to work, and I just think, why has that happened? And where we go, you know, tech should be simple. That's what it's there for. It should just
Like if you ever just want to jump in and make a CSS change to one of our products,
yeah,
or projects, you're just like, oh, Keith, I can't do it because I've got to
set gulp up and npm up and download the entire internet onto my computer, and it's just like, all I want to do is, like, you know, color green.
Exactly.
It just really frustrates me every day that it's so complicated.
Yeah, and we do our best to keep things simple as well.
Yeah, definitely. But
it's still difficult. Yeah, that's a good one. For me, echoing or my highlight is Gutenberg as a low point, because it's just continually frustrating, and that's been really challenging. And like, again, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see the occasional rant about things not being the way they should be or the way I would like them to be, and things changing when I think, no, whatever. So yeah, Gutenberg, a high and a low for sure. The other one on this, I don't want this to be controversial, so I'll have to explain why I'm saying it. But in May, I think it was, we had Matt Mullenweg and Josepha Hayden-Champusi on the show. And I thought that was going to be like the highlight of my year. I was excited about it. I was nervous. I was like, this is a game changer for this show. And I just didn't think it went that well. I really didn't. And that, I was really deflated actually afterwards, for quite a while. And I was just, I started questioning everything. I was just like, they were great, like, as guests. Absolutely perfect. I felt like I didn't do a good job as an interviewer. I think I asked questions that were maybe a little bit ambiguous or a little, and then I didn't ask the really hard-hitting questions that I wanted to, because I was maybe a little bit intimidated, or didn't know how to phrase it properly. So I was nervous as well, you know, and I just felt like what should have been a really real high point, where I was like, come everyone, watch me as I interview, you know, the co-founder of WordPress. I thought I'd be sharing it with my family. I thought I'd be sharing it like on Twitter nonstop, but actually I felt like a little bit embarrassed. I don't know. That was just, maybe that's just me, but that was a big,
I agree.
Moment.
I think I was the same, a little disappointed. I don't think it bothered me as much as it bothered you, but I get what you mean. You know, I think it's an interesting lesson for us in that it comes down to like almost good, like, questioning and journalism almost. Like, it's a skill, isn't it? You've got to be, you've got to be really good at it to get a good interview out of it. So,
yeah. And when you, like, there's a lot of really good podcasters in this space, and especially like good interviewers. Like, I find this easy. Just having a chat with you is really easy. But whenever you're like trying to have a casual chat with a guest, but also you know that you're the one in charge and you need, not charge, but like driving the structure of the interview, it makes it very difficult to like stay in the moment with the conversation, because I'm always thinking, what's next? What's next?
What's where next? Are we going? Because the dead space is always yours to fill. You know,
exactly. Yeah. So. It's just something to think about going forward, is like, you know, do we want to be doing more of those interview shows or more of this kind of thing? And ultimately I want to be doing what people want us to do to some degree, but also we should be doing what we enjoy too. Like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So, definitely. So we'll see. It'd be interesting if anyone had any feedback on that. Like, do you like this style of show? Or do you prefer it when we get the experts in and you know, to interview them? That would be really interesting to know. And please feel free to say hello in the comments or add a question. We don't have too much, probably too much longer. I don't want to go on and on and on forever. Generally, Mark, how are you feeling about WordPress as a project going into 2022?
Nothing. I've got no strong feelings, really. I mean, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I suppose there's lots of changes coming. You know, some of which are already here, like full site editing's coming, and part of me thinks, oh, something else we've got to learn and deal with. But then part of me thinks that, like, we were doing the project, was it yesterday? And, like, we both said, like, full site editing would be perfect for this.
I know.
So part of me thinks, like, well, hey, it's there. Like, use it, you know? So yeah. I think there's things like that, which kind of it's good and it's bad because it's worrying and it's yeah. not. So
yeah.
But usually things are fine. Things pan out. Things just, they're not as bad as they look. And so yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. For me, I've kind of come to terms with the direction that WordPress is going in and our place within that to some extent. And the fact that we have to be flexible and things are going to change, and some of the value that we provide today is going to be taken away from us, and we're going to have to find other ways to add value. And that's just the way the world is in nearly any industry. So we're very fortunate to still have jobs and still be working on technologies that we love. And, you know, yeah, I think I have worries about it, and not everything is like the way I would choose for it to be, but generally I feel like I've got a bit more faith in the vision and the product than I did maybe a year ago, certainly 2 years ago when I thought the world was ending. So yeah, I'm actually pretty confident, really. And like with everything that we all said about Gutenberg when it came along, and that was the end of WordPress, and, you know, yada yada yada, it isn't, and it hasn't been, and there isn't anybody coming up to take the throne and put us all out of jobs. It's just, I think WordPress itself is going to put us out of jobs because it's going to get so good. So yeah, there you go. That's my thoughts.
There you go, Keith. A bit of love from Mark there for you. I personally think the interview was fine. Very much harsh on yourself. Maybe try and get Mike Little on the show, a co-founder. He's a much nicer bloke. Mike is lovely. I'd love to get Mike on the show. It should be great.
Yeah.
And Elliot says he agrees with Mark. The interview is fine.
The interview is fine. Yeah.
So it's not as bad as you think.
Yeah. Just personally, I don't know. Maybe I had it in my head that it would go differently. But yeah. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy doing it.
But I think part of that was because it was, well, a little bit stressful. You know, it was like nervous because it was like, and that's like, do you really fully enjoy it when you're sort of like in that space? I don't know.
Yeah, agreed. Any goals in 2022? I know that we talked about potentially starting up our mentoring again.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed that. When we did that. But that was 2 years ago now, wasn't it, before the pandemic. Did we run two groups or three groups?
Did we do three sessions in the end?
I can't remember, thoroughly enjoyed that. And I think the people that were on it enjoyed it and got something out of it. I hope they have, people that we spoke to have. So
yeah.
I'm sure not everyone did, but so I'd love to start up something like that again. I don't know whether it'll be different or better, I hope. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. So something I'd like to do again.
Yeah, lots of questions about what the best way to deliver that is and how we can give people the most value for their time.
Yeah, definitely. So, any suggestions, let us know.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, and if you're interested, just get in touch.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably something we'll do. Any other goals? I personally want to really try to grow Job Relay a bit more. I'd love to see that double. I don't know if it'll double within a year. And I think, you know, we've hit the 100 customers. I think the next 100 it's going to be a lot harder if we, you know, it's not going to, I think it's going to tail off slightly. I've just got that feeling. I think the market's still there, but I think we're going to have to do something different to reach the rest of the market or expand the market.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. I think getting the next 100 will be more difficult than the first 100 for sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think we've seen that in the last month or two as well. It's been not static, but it's been not growing as fast, isn't it? I don't know whether that's just because you're coming up to Christmas and it's back to what we were talking about earlier, where it's like December and no one does that in December. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, a job really would be awesome to grow further. And we've got, well, we chatted just before this call, actually, we were chatting about some extra ideas and other partners that we could perhaps integrate with, which would obviously then hopefully grab like more customers from those products as well as the ones we're already integrated with. So there's potential for growth in lots of different ways. Obviously, more customers on the services that we do support, but integrating more services that allows you to grab those customers as well. So,
yeah. And I'd also like to just extend our product line a little bit. I know we've got one idea at the minute that we're talking about. So yeah, I'd really like to see if we can get something else going. And just, you know, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Just have a like, little suite of plugins or products that are all just contributing. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and then you obviously can see which ones you can grow and which ones, it'd be nice. Do you know what? It's interesting though, because I think I'd really miss project work in some ways. And also, it's interesting because all the project work is front-end based these days and all our product work is back-end based. So are we going to have to split up high-rise and I'll take the front and you do the back?
It's interesting because it's kind of, like we were saying before, it's kind of balanced out in a way, isn't it? That
it has. It's
like
been good.
Projects have become like a third, two-thirds, you're the majority, and actually the products have kind of filled that space for me. So, which has been nice. And I think the other thing we've come to realize is that we're not going to build an all singing, all dancing one product that's going to like fill all our time and make all our money.
Yeah.
We're quite like open to having two or three that have their own market and their own customer base, but it might be smaller and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Although we do think that like obviously staying within a market like recruitment, for example, makes a bit of sense because then you can cross sell things and all that kind of stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I am looking forward to next year. I'm hoping it's gonna be a good one for us. I think we're in good shape. I think the industry is in good shape. I hope all of you listening are also feeling that way. Maybe some of you aren't. I know some of you aren't. But hopefully we all have a good year next year. And you know, I'm sure it's going to be partly crazy again. We're not out of the woods yet with COVID and stuff. So I'm sure that's going to rumble on. But hopefully, I've got another goal for next year: meet up with some WordPress people in person.
That would be awesome, yeah. It's been too long, hasn't it?
Oh, goodness, how good.
That would be good. Hopefully,
Porto,
we'll be able to do that.
WordCamp Europe? June?
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. All right, should we wrap it up?
We should wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Thank you for your support as well during the last 12 months with the channel and with WP Cafe. It's really nice to have you on board. If you haven't subscribed, then do so now. It'd be great.
Yeah,
and we will be back in the new year with some more videos, more cafe episodes. Have a wonderful Christmas if we're allowed, and enjoy the new year, and we'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.